ready.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Pastor Billy Crone, who's been with us in giving a series of talks on the final countdown. And there is a final countdown. Things are moving and moving very rapidly. The America we've known in the past economically just doesn't seem to be here anymore. The moral America that we at one time knew, where right was right and wrong was wrong, and abortion was wrong and homosexuality was considered a sin, these things really don't seem to matter much anymore. We have so many much more important things to think about. Why is the world changing? Well, I believe that Pastor Crone is absolutely right. We are seeing the fulfillment of ancient prophecies being carried out today, but we don't recognize them because nobody puts it all together. And he's done a wonderful job in a series of DVDs, and we're approaching the end of the coverage of those. And today we're going to talk about, Pastor Crone, what's the subject today?
Well, tonight we are dealing with the big finale, the issue of the Mark of the Beast.
All right, fine. So you just pick up the story.
Well, and where we get the issue of the Mark of the Beast, of course, is the classic passage in the book of Revelation, chapter 13. And what it clearly says that, you know, how do you know that you are in the last days, you're fast approaching and seeing before your eyes the development of the Antichrist kingdom that was prophesied 2,000 years ago? Well, it's going to happen something like this. Here's one of the indicators. Revelation 13 says he required everyone, great and small, rich and poor, slave and free, to be given a mark on the right hand or the forehead. And no one could buy or sell anything without that mark, which was either the name of the beast or the number representing his name. Then it talks about the penalty in chapter 14. Anyone who worships the beast, the Antichrist, and his statue, or accepts his mark on the forehead or the hand, must drink the wine of God's wrath. It is poured out undiluted into God's cup of wrath, and they will be tormented with fire and burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. The smoke of their torment rises forever and ever, and they will have no relief day or night, for they have worshipped the beast, or the Antichrist, and his statue, and they have accepted the mark of his name. So clearly the Bible says that one of the biggest signs you can know that you are in the last days, and you better get ready, is you're going to see somehow one person, one entity, is going to have such control over the world now. And notice it's not just a section of the world. It's a global in its context. Everyone, great and small, rich and poor, slave and free. That's everybody on the planet. But what is he going to be able to do? He is going to be able to, it says required there, literally it means to cause or to make them receive a mark on their right hand or their forehead. Specifically, with this mark, you could not buy or sell anything. It says right there, not some things, not most things, but anything without that mark. And so the question obviously is, well, do we see any sign of this passage coming to pass? And folks, it's not just, is it coming to pass? The technology is already here for this to come pass. You know, I think, unfortunately, many people get sidetracked, if you will, on the issue of what is the 666? What's the number mean? And I remember back in Bible college, people were saying it was Ronald Reagan because you got Ronald and his middle name Wilson and Reagan. If you add up the letters, that's 666. And from it, just everybody has some sort of theory. And not that that's not important to understand, but I think you're missing the point. What is the mark? Do we see the signs of something being implanted on somebody's right hand or forehead, controlling what you buy or sell? Absolutely, folks. The technology is not coming. The technology is here now.
Now hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment. You know, a lot of people are talking about the fact that they've already got the census stickers out a year early. They want to mark every home with a GPS indicator, and they're doing that. But it's not just here. It's all throughout the world. You go right ahead.
Well, that's just it. You know, again, we play the role, two things. One of the skeptic, which I used to be one of the biggest ones. You know, folks, you're listening to a person who is not just some brainwashed idiot. You know, I used to be the first one to say, hey, Christians, you know, you check your brain in at the door, and nothing could be further from the truth. I used to think that Christians were a bunch of dumb idiots that had to have a book tell them what to do, i.e. the Bible. And I would be the first one to say, hey, Christians, the Bible is just a book whooped up by man full of errors. And but yet, did I ever crack open the Bible and begin to investigate it myself? Absolutely not. Certainly not in some genuine effort. And so, folks, I understand what it means to scoff at that. I understand it's unfortunate that many people, even in the quote-unquote Christian community, have tried to set dates, which the Bible says you clearly cannot do. And what we've tried to do here in the final countdown is to give some 10 signs to indicate when you know you are fast approaching the last days. And that's exactly what Jesus said. Jesus said in the book of Luke, chapter 12, he turned to the crowd and he says, when you see clouds beginning to form in the west, you say, hey, here comes a shower. And he says, you're right. And he says, then when the south wind blows, you say, today it's going to be a scorcher. And it is, he says. But then he says this. He says, you hypocrites. He says, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky, but you can't interpret these present times. And it's really kind of ironic, Dr. Monteith, that we, you know, people have said they're masters of predicting the weather, or so much so they're fascinated with the weather, that we have the Weather Channel, and yet most people today have no clue of these signs that are being happening, unfolding before our very eyes, is predicting something, all right. It's not a weather. It's a sign that we're in the last days, and if Jesus were here today, I think he'd say, frankly, to even the church, you hypocrites. I've given you all these signs to indicate you don't know the day nor the hour. Only the Father knows that. But I've left behind for you sufficient data so you know, and this should not catch you off guard. And that's what we've tried to do with the Final Countdown series, is to provide the information which I think, unfortunately, much of the church is refusing to get out and or, sadly, is not even interested anymore. And yet the irony, the sickening irony, is it's happening so fast. Dr. Monteith, I teach on this virtually every week, and I can't even keep up with it. It's happening so fast. But with this issue of the mark of the beast, we see, folks, the technology is already here. It's not coming. It's already here. For the first time in mankind's history, the ability to pull off Revelation 13, specifically the mark of the beast, is here. The means to monitor and control every person on the planet, specifically down to what they can buy and sell with some sort of device into a person's body, the right hand or forehead, is already here. And so, you know, again, put yourself in the Antichrist shoes. How in the world are you going to pull this off? Not on a local level. Not on a regional level, but on a global level. Well, folks, first of all, because of some recent inventions, it's now possible. The first one you're going to have in place is some sort of tracking technology.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Pastor Krohn is saying that if these indeed are the last days, why, we're going to see evidence that there is some ability for tracking everybody in America. Indeed, eventually everybody in the entire world. There's got to have to be technology. There certainly wasn't technology 50 years ago to do that, but there is that technology today. And as we see this technology developing, and of course we see the convenience of credit cards, wonderful credit cards, and then we're going to debit cards, and then we learn about new and really very, very fascinating types of new scientific technology that will allow them to begin to mark people so that, after all, that we don't have to worry about losing our credit card or our debit card, and we'll be able to just go right ahead and buy. And of course, we have to be able to buy things. We don't produce things much anymore. We have to go to the store. But the technology is here. So you pick the story up, Pastor Krohn.
Well, that's just it, Dr. Monteith. With recent inventions, for the first time in mankind's history, this is why people need to pay attention. This isn't just some, you know, boy or Christian that cried wolf, if you will. You know, many people, and I used to be one of them, so I understand, folks, that, you know, hey, you Christians have been saying Jesus is coming back, et cetera, blah, 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 nothing ever changes, et cetera, et cetera. In fact, even the book of Peter predicts that attitude, that the people would scoff, you know, and say that nothing's ever changing, he's never coming back, et cetera. I understand that. But folks, what's different this time is we have the technology to pull this off for the first time in mankind's history. And the first one that we have that's key is satellite technology. Satellite technology, folks, gives us the ability to not just pick up signals and beam signals and communicate and things of that nature, but with, you combine it with micro chipset technology is that it provides, you combine it together, it provides a tracking system that can be utilized anywhere around the world. We have electronic blanket, folks, around the whole planet. For the first time in mankind's history, we can communicate, and not just communicate, we can monitor any person anywhere on the planet anytime. Okay, so that's the first thing you need to have if you're going to pull off the Mark of the Beast. But the second thing you're going to need to have if you're going to pull this off is you not only need the ability to globally track somebody, you need some sort of database to identify these people that you're tracking, because everybody, frankly, is going to be reduced to a number. And, well, gee whiz, folks, I'm not going to belabor the point. We've dealt with that in previous interviews, but we already have mega databases available. In fact, you know, some estimates say that right now each adult in the developed world is already located on the average of 300 different databases. And they combine the information, share the information all over the world, folks. So the databases are already here as well. But if you're going to pull off the Mark of the Beast and you're the Antichrist, you not only need the tracking on a global level, you not only need the database to store the information on a global level, but you got to have some way to personally connect these people to the system. Well, folks, there's all kinds of what's called personal identification devices or methodologies to specifically indicate who you are as a person with this technology. They've embedded things into the computers and certainly even on the Internet, which allows anyone, anywhere, anytime to be identified personally on the Internet, wherever you go. Your cell phone can do the same thing. Even if you're not online, your cell phone can track you as a person individually and know who you are, where you are with your cell phone. But then they're using it all and selling it with conveniences. Different schools are using GPS devices that are worn by students. Anything from monitoring how much exercise they're getting to whether or not they've made it to school on time, what time they got off the bus, did they make it into the classroom. Parents can log online, teachers can log online, all kinds of stuff. Rental companies are using their rental cars, their GPS systems to monitor people's driving behavior and send out fines. City and government employees are having them installed on their vehicles to monitor people's routes, trips, and stuff. In fact, recently some police officers got in trouble because it turned out they falsified their records. Because their reports didn't match the location indicated by the GPS system that was installed in their vehicles. But that's not all. They've also gotten us used to be personally identified into this system, folks, using biometrics that could be like hand scans, retinal scans, face scans. In fact, speaking of biometrics, the FBI has spent $1 billion, folks, not $1 million, $1 billion to build the world's largest computer database of people's our physical characteristics. And I'm talking all kinds of stuff, folks. It's iris patterns, face shape data, scars, even the unique way that we walk or talk, and the fingerprints, the handprints, retinal, you know, the whole nine yards. They're building a whole database on you and I with this biometric technology under the guise that's going to help keep us safe and et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so we already see the three things needed are already in place, folks. It's not coming. It's not hopefully soon. It's not projected to be next year. It's already here, already in place. Okay, we have the global tracking ability with the satellites. We've got the database to hold this information on the global level. And we got people used to being identified, some means, personally, anywhere on the planet. Okay, but here's the problem. And I think it's been built in, Dr. Monteith, on purpose. And hopefully it'll make sense here in a second. There's a few problems with these kind of identification systems. Okay, they either take too much time. Some of these things can be damaged or falsified, okay, or worse yet, they can be lost, okay? And even if it's a biometric, see, they're selling biometrics right now because, you know, first they got its use, as you open the broadcast, Dr. Monteith, with, you know, first with money, then they got it used to going electronic, and you got checks, and then you went from checks and went to credit card, from credit card you went to debit card, and then from credit card and debit card you went to a smart card, and you know, with the chip and can hold the information, okay? But then since those can be lost or stolen, or then they've gone to, well, why don't you just start using your fingerprint and things of that nature? Well, even those are not safe, and I think that they know it, frankly, folks. And let me give you a couple examples of why they're not safe. And let me tell you the reason why I think they've allowed this problem in this new technology, because it's going to lead to where I think they're ultimately wanting us to go. Do you think if you use biometric with your fingerprint, you think that's going to be safe? You'll say, hey, they can't take my credit card, they can't steal my identity, they can't take my driver's license. Well, folks, they could take your finger. Have you ever stopped to think about that? And you might think that's crazy, but listen to this. In Malaysia, police in Malaysia are hunting, this is an article, for members of a violent gang who chopped off a car owner's finger to get around the vehicle's high-tech security system. The car was a Mercedes S-Class and was protected by fingerprint recognition system. The accountant, his last name is Kumaran or something like that, the ordeal began when he was run down by four men in a small car as he was about to get out of his Mercedes. The gang, armed with long machetes, demanded the keys to his car. And so they attacked the guy, they put his finger on the security panel to start the vehicle, then they tied him up, chucked him in the back seat, and drove off. But having stripped the car, the thieves became frustrated, and they wanted to restart it. So they found that they could not bypass the immobilizer again, because, again, it needs the owner's fingerprint. So they stripped the guy that they had in the back seat, they stripped him naked and left him by the side of the road, but not before cutting off his index finger with a machete so they could rip off his car. And see, so, folks, this stuff is not secure. I mean, it's another form of technology, but just gives people with nefarious reasons and motives just a new way to get creative and still steal your identity. Okay? In fact, it's even worse than that. Dr. Monteith, I just exposed on Sunday in our recent Book of Revelation study, I showed the actual video clip, Mythbusters, they exposed how bankrupt this biometric technology is. They were able to, in 10 minutes, they got into a fingerprint identification lock supposedly you could not get into a laptop and access a laptop without fingerprint recognition. They were able to bypass that. In fact, they were able to bypass a fingerprint door lock, which the manufacturer stated, quote, that it had never been bypassed ever before, ever. And they did it three different ways in 10 minutes. Now, get this. I'll tell you how bad it was. And I showed the actual clip. They not only did a gel print, and he glued it to a thumbprint and so faked it. Okay, they actually, it got so bad, and they were laughing. In fact, after they were done, the Mythbusters guys, they said, man, this is a joke. They actually made a Xerox, a photocopy of the guy's fingerprint. Licked it, okay, put it on there, and it opened the lock. This stuff is not secure, folks, whatsoever. We are being set up. So the question is, okay, well, why? What's the big deal? Well, I think there's a reason why. Because they're getting us used to this biometric technology. They're getting us used to this personal identification technology, not only to track us, but notice these things can be used for financial transactions, et cetera, et cetera. Remember, the context is the mark of the beast. Well, why are they getting us used to this kind of a system when it's not secure? Well, because I think their ultimate goal, folks, is to, instead of using a body part or something, a card or some sort of a chip outside of us, that they're going to create...
Hold that thought. Oh, no, go right ahead. You're doing fine. Go ahead.
Okay. That instead of having this technology outside of us, that we need to really get it secure now, and we need to put it inside of us. And they've already got the technology. It's called a biometric implant.
And, of course, I think it's only a matter of time before they begin telling us how convenient it'll be. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Nobody would be able to steal your identification because, of course, it would be certainly just part and parcel of you. And they actually have these implants at the present time, don't they? And aren't they actually using them in certain parts of the world and certainly within the military?
Yeah, military, we'll get to that hopefully in a little bit, it's the rave. In fact, what it is, it's basically like a little tiny chip, okay, about the size of a grain of rice, and it's implanted just on the skin. And you're right, Dr. Monteith, it was actually approved. It was approved by the FDA, back in 2002, I believe. But that's just the technology, folks. What you need to understand is, and that's just it, it's the not just we have the technologies here, but the justification is here. If you're the Antichrist, you need to have people who are willing to give this stuff a try, right? Well, folks, for the first time in mankind's history, we not only have the technology for the mark of the beast, but for the first time in mankind's history, people are willing to give this stuff a try. And they're using three different selling points to get you and I convinced that having all areas of our lives controlled by implantable microchips is the greatest thing that could ever happen. And they're promising that it'll make our lives more pampered, it'll make our lives more productive, and of course the big one, the scare tactic, is if we only get a microchip implant, folks, we will be so much more protected.
And, of course, they're already chipping animals. Lots of people have had their dog or cat chipped. Isn't that really wonderful? Now, if they get lost, we can identify them. But is there other problems? We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Krohn. Go right ahead.
Well, in the first way, you know, again, Dr. Monteith, is how they're trying to sell us with these invasion of microchip implants is that our lives are going to be so much more pampered if we would just concede and get one of these incredible implants.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Put out by the people who create the RFID chips, and they're quite blatant. We want to have everything identified, everything, every product, every bit of food, every animal, everything is to be identified on the whole world. Now, Cindy, why would anybody want to do that? Well, it's all about, well, the convenience, tracking, preventing counterfeiting, stopping the spread of disease in animals or in vegetables. No, ladies and gentlemen, it's all about control. And the time will come whether you will neither buy nor sell, lest you have the mark of the beast. And people don't understand. This is coming down the track like a roaring freight train, and most people have no idea what is really taking place. So pick up the story there.
Well, people need to understand, too, Dr. Monteith, is it's not just consumer products that they want to track. It's every single animal. It's every single food item. And it's all people. Everything. When they mean everything is going to be tagged and tracked like an animal, it's not just products or animals. It's people as well. Everything on this planet is going to be tracked and tagged with a number. Okay, folks? And this is, you could please check, get the information, check it out. These are direct quotes from these people. I'm not making it up, okay? And, but back to that tracking stuff, again, it's very convenient. We'll be so much more productive. You can get implants in your luggage. Oh, wouldn't that be awesome, folks? You could never lose your luggage wherever you go, and that would be, long gone. You never have to deal with that anymore. You can get implants in your, hey, listen to this, folks, for those of you who own a business, you can get implants in your employees to monitor their location, who they're with, timekeeping, see if they're, you know, goofing off or, you know, where they're not supposed to be, or around the water cooler too long, or they cheated on their break, or on their lunch, or showed up late, or left early. Wouldn't it be so much more efficient and productive? In fact, speaking of which, they're already starting to do this one, Dr. Monteith. You can get an implant, they're pushing it in restaurants, implant in your restaurant employees. So when they use the restroom, you know, you're supposed to wash your hands, but, you know, some of those people don't do that. But if you put another implant in the wash basin, then you would know when the employee went into the bathroom, and you would know whether or not that particular employee, when they went to the restroom, came out of the restroom, went to the wash basin, whether or not they washed their hands or not. All automated. You get a report as the manager, and you could discipline them. You can have an implant in your body to act as an internal alarm clock to determine how much sleep you can get. You can have implants in your bodies to determine your pulse rate, your heart rate, sugar levels, and you can have implants to connect you directly to your computer, into your brain, to help provide sight for the blind. They're working on the implants to extend human intelligence or memory. It's all kinds of stuff that they're trying to make for you and I to be much more productive citizens, okay? And so the selling point is, hey, man, wouldn't it just be so constructive if we can get a microchip implant? But that's right, you might be some of those folks out there, like hopefully most folks are. Unfortunately not. Everybody's really jumping on the bandwagon with this. But maybe you're saying, hey, there's no way. I don't care how cool. I don't care how constructive. I am not going to get one of these implants. Well, they've done the fear factor, folks. And as always, you know, you create a crisis, you can manage it, and people are more apt to surrender their freedoms in a time of fear than in peace. So, hey, these things have promised to make us more protective. First of all, they start with the pets. You know, you want to protect your pet. You know, and Sparky gets lost. Hey, no more. You get an implant in your pet. He never gets lost. They've been doing that for quite some time. They've been pushing for a while now, implants in your car, again, in your vehicle, so that if it's ever stolen, you can get the car back. If implants are in people, hey, let's say they were involved in an airplane crash or a natural disaster, you can at least find their body. They'll never be missing ever again. They have implants in your livestock, and they'll never wander off. You always know where they're at. They're pushing this one big time. You can get an implant in your loved one who has Alzheimer's. And, you know, in case they wander off or something like that. And here's the other one they're pushing really big right now, and that's if you can get an implant in your child. So if they ever get lost or abducted, boy, you can find them right away. And so the selling point there is, folks, hey, listen, wouldn't it just be common sense to get these microchip implants? I mean, it's not only convenient, will not only be constructive, but, boy, it's just common sense. I mean, especially with all the terrorist activities and all those mean, nasty people out there, you know, who might steal your child or just have all those nefarious purposes. And it just wouldn't it be great? And, folks, if you think that people aren't deadly serious about this, everybody's hopping on the bandwagon. Listen to this. This is a quote from a chief scientist in one of these companies who makes this. He said, a few years ago, there may have been resistance, but not anymore. He said, people are getting used to having implants. He said, 50 years ago, the thought of a cell phone where you could walk around talking on the phone was unimaginable, but now they're everywhere. Just like this cell phone, these implants will be a connection from yourself to the electronic world. It will be your guardian. It will be your protector. It will bring good things to you. We will be a hybrid of electronic intelligence and your own soul.
And this is coming. It's coming very, very rapidly. The technology is there. They are in the process of conditioning the minds of the American people to accept it. We're going into a time, certainly, of increasing violence and uncertainty, and we're going to need protection, you know, and what a wonderful make be sure nobody can be kidnapped ever again. Well, Pastor Billy, you go right ahead there.
Well, and that's the appropriate word, Dr. Monteith, is conditioning. Listen to these other quotes by people who are, frankly, in the limelight, who are conditioning us that this would be the greatest thing since sliced bread. Andy Rooney, and we share the actual video clip with this on the Final Countdown, folks. Andy Rooney said on 60 Minutes, this is a direct quote, he says, we need some system for permanently identifying safe people. Most of us are never going to blow up anything, and there's got to be something better than one of these photo IDs. He said, I wouldn't mind having something implanted permanently in my arm that would identify me. John Walsh of America's Most Wanted said about implants, he said, it's a brilliant idea. He said, I wish somebody would develop it because, number one, time is crucial when a child is missing, and you could locate them by the chip. He said, so I hope that somebody develops that in my lifetime. Well, good news, John, it's already here, and it's already being implanted in children and adults. Scott McNeely, he's from Sun Microsystems, he foretold of a time, listen to this, folks, he says they're going to slap that baby's bottom, they're going to slip an ID chip in their neck or between their shoulders so you can keep track of your kid. Roger Ebert, of all people, listen to this, he says sometime in the next century, which is now, he said computer chips are getting smaller and faster, that eventually the time will come when a child is implanted with a little chip back in the back of the neck, and they will learn to control that chip in the same way that they learn to control their bodily functions, their voice, and their movements. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but it seems to me that somebody is very serious about implementing this mark of the beast. We not only have the technology, we have the justification. Oh, it's going to be, we're going to have such pampered lives, we'll be such productive citizens, and after all, in case things get really bad, and there's a crisis, oh, we'll be so protected. I mean, gee whiz, folks, we've got to get these implants. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're conditioning us. Now, the third way we know that people will soon be receiving this mark of the beast is we only have the technology, we only have the justification, but Dr. Monteith, the willingness is already here. Okay, if you're the mark of the beast, you've got to have, you would assume that people are going to, at least some section of people are being willing to try this thing out. Well, folks, for the first time in mankind's history, people, we only have the technology, we only have the justification that's being sold to us, but we got all kinds of people, folks, right now, who are receiving these things already into them. Of course, they started with pets. Now they've moved to people. And of course, it started out with, like, some of the fringe people, like the special dignitaries. They took on these implants, you know, in case they were kidnapped around the world and whatever. But then it began to move to just your average Joe. Jacob's family made the news several years back when it was a family affair. They televised it on one of the morning shows. And it was a family affair. They willingly had their whole family implanted with these microchips in their right arms, which is kind of funny. I thought, you know, wasn't.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment with Pastor Billy Crone. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Pastor Crone is talking about there have been incidences where whole families have been chipped. They take it in the arm and they televise this, and certainly dignitaries have been chipped so that, you know, in case they were kidnapped, they would certainly be able to determine where they were, because certainly in certain parts of the world, South America, why, kidnapping is much more common than it is here in the United States. So there are certain parts of the world where at least some people are beginning to get chipped, and of course it's quite a novelty. But before we go on, Pastor, I want you to go ahead and give your web page out so people would know how to get in touch with your ministry. We do carry a number of your things. We do carry the Final Countdown series, the RFID series, Get a Life, the Creation. We're going to be doing Creation next. That's a 10 DVD series. But how can people get in touch with your ministry?
Well, you can go to our direct website. It's at www.niagarafrontierbible.com. That's NIAGARAFRONTIERBIBLE.com, NiagaraFrontierBible.com. Or you can just search for my name on the Internet, Billy Crone, C-R-O-N-E, B-I-L-L-Y-C-R-O-N-E, Billy Crone, and that'll take you where you need to go.
All right, fine. Well, let's go right ahead with this discussion of the biochips that, of course, would allow us to have all the convenience, and we wouldn't even have to worry about a credit card. We wouldn't have to worry about writing a check. It could all be done electronically.
Well, and boy, is that the key word. Dr. Monteith, listen to what this article said, speaking of worry. It says, worry no more, doting parents. Whether it's your little pumpkin's first day walking home from school by herself, or the millionth time you've lost her at the mall, the babysitter it's the tracking technology, will track your sweet pea's location from a jelly bean-sized microchip implant discreetly tucked under her collarbone. Also available, the Constant Companion lets you keep a watchful eye on Grandma or Grandpa, even when you can't be by their side. And coming soon, the INS Border Patroller, the Personal Private Eye, and the Micromanager. It says, alas, this is not as far-fetched or futuristic as it sounds. The notion of surveillance chips being installed in human beings is poised to cross over from the realm of science fiction into everyday reality soon. And, folks, that's what you need to understand. The technology is not only here, but the willingness is here. The people are doing it. Whole families are doing it, as we just shared a little bit ago. Kids are doing it. All kinds of people. Individuals are doing it. People are lining up at bars and nightclubs to get these implants to not only identify them, but to pay for their drinks with the wave of a hand. And you might think, well, that's just kind of like the lunatic fringe. You know, that's, you know, most of us folks, we're, hey, there's no way we're going to go along with that. Well, folks, a recent MSNBC poll showed that right now, these propaganda machines are working. Right now, 20% of the American population is fully ready and willing to receive a microchip implant. Fully willing. One-fifth of the population right now, because of all this propaganda, folks, people think this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. In fact, the propaganda has been going on for quite some time. As far back as 1973, they were teaching this stuff in school. Listen to this, folks. This is really creepy. Senior Scholastics introduced school-aged children back in 1973 to the concept of, quote, buying and selling using numbers inserted in their forehead. In the September 20th, 1973 feature, Who is Watching You? Please check it out, folks. Who is Watching You? September 20, 1973. The secular high school journal speculate, quote, all buying and selling in the program will be done by computer. No currency, no change, no checks. In the program, people would receive a number that has been assigned them tattooed in their wrist or forehead. Man, it's almost like somebody's following the script. It said the number is put on by a laser beam and cannot be felt. Now, folks, that was back in 1973. Let me interrupt that in a second. Folks, right now they've also come out with what's called, with this implant technology, they could also get this implant either, like I said, with a, like a tiny grain of rice that can be inserted underneath your skin, or they could tattoo it on your skin. Either way, folks, they've come out with what's called invisible RFID ink, and they're trying out on animals as well. And the company's name is called Somark. I thought that was pretty interesting, S-O-M-A-R-K. And they said it could be either invisible or colored, and it's 100% biocompatible and chemically inert. And it's safe. Listen to this. It's safe not just for animals. Direct quote, it's safe for people. I thought that was very interesting, Dr. Monteith. So, you know, a lot of people kind of in the Bible prophecy crowd wonder, is this, does the mark mean in? Does it mean on? It's like, hey, you're missing the whole point. Whether it's in or on, they've got both bases covered, okay? But that's what they were talking about back in 1973 to school children. It says the number in the body, let me continue, the number in the body is not seen with the naked eye and is as permanent as your fingerprints. All items of consumer goods will be marked with a computer mark. The computer outlet in the store, which picks up the number on the items at the check stand, that's all the computer products, folks. So that tells you, just as we were talking earlier, Dr. Monteith, with the RFID technology, not just the products are going to be tracked, but the people are going to be tracked. Everything is going to be interconnected. This was back in 1973. The computer outlet in the store, which picks up the number on the items at the check stand, will also pick up the number in the person's body and automatically total the price and deduct the amount from the person's special drawing rights account. Now that sounds pretty creepy. In fact, in a Denver Post Sun, they had a story and it said that they talked about how chip implants could someday replace ID cards. This is back in 1981. It said, quote, the chip is placed in a needle, which is affixed to a simple syringe containing the antibacterial solution. The needle is capped and ready to forever identify something or somebody. Even in a Time magazine, back in 1998, they ran this story. Last time I checked, it was still on the Internet. The Big Bang Theory and What It Says About the Future of Money. That's the title of it. Here's a direct quote. Quote, your daughter can store the money any way she wants, on her laptop, on a debit card, or even in the not-too-distant future, on a chip implanted under her skin. Now, some folks have come out and said that there's a, you know, obviously this is a serious breach of privacy. In fact, the Franklin Pierce Law Center talks about this. See, every time when you start telling these people, hey, listen, this is the mark of the beast, this is an invasion of privacy beyond legitimacy, and they always come back and say, well, listen, it's just voluntary. It's just voluntary. We're never going to make it mandatory. Now, that's a key word there, mandatory, because remember, folks, if you recall at the beginning at the interview tonight, the book of Revelation clearly says he required, okay, which literally means to cause or to make. That means mandatory. He required people. Now, listen to what Franklin Pierce Law Center says. A mandatory national identification system via microchip implants could be achieved in two stages. Listen, upon introduction as a voluntary system, the microchip implantation will appear to be palatable. After there is a familiarity with the procedure and a knowledge of its benefits, you know, it'd just be so wonderful, then they said they could switch to stage two and implantation would become mandatory. Another guy gives this example. He says, after all, the government has never forced anyone to have a driver's license. He says, but try getting along without one. He said, when everyone from your local banker to the car rental man to the hotel operator to the grocery store requires one in order for you to take advantage of the services, that amounts to a de facto mandate. He said, if the government can force you to surrender your fingerprints to get a driver's license, why can't it force you to get a computer chip implant? And then they said, in the same way Social Security numbers were voluntary before becoming mandatory, they said, it's clear biometric chip implants will be compulsory in the future. And you might think, well, hey, there's no way that the government's ever going to require people to receive a universal identification mark. Well, folks, not only did Hitler do it with the Jews, but even more recently, the European Union, folks, is preparing to give its citizens a universal identification so they can freely move about from country to country in the European Union. Japan launched a compulsory ID system called JukiNet, J-U-K-I-N-E-T, check it out yourself, that links all citizens to a nationwide computer system. Okay, unless you don't think this is going to go global, folks, the United Nations has already outlined a scheme so that, quote, this direct quote, every person in the world would be registered under a universal identification. And, folks, I don't know about you, but you put the pieces together, and the Mark of the Beast is not coming, folks. It's already here. It's just a matter of putting it into place. Okay, and I think they're going to do it in two words. The word that I want to focus on in the remaining time, Dr. Monteith, is the word, again, that's used there in Revelation, is he required. Okay, he required, he caused them, he made them to get this mark in their right hand or the forehead. So that's the question. Do we see any signs of people being forced, being required to put something into their bodies? Yes, we do. And I think they're doing it in two stages, folks. This is what I call a Chrome theory here. And the first stage is they're getting you and I used to having something required taken from our bodies. First, we get used to bowing over and letting them mandatorily, at any time they want, take something from our bodies. Then they will move to stage two, and then they will mandatorily put something into our bodies. Let's do with the first step. First of all, the way that they're doing that, getting us used to taking something from our bodies, the FBI is doing that with our DNA, folks. The FBI's database is not only expanding rapidly, it's the largest system in the world. And the feds are collecting DNA, folks, from every person they arrest. Now listen, that's whether the person's been charged or not. They are taking DNA from every person. They're doing it through a cheek swab. Okay, whether or not you're guilty of any crime, you get pulled over, they're taking your DNA. And they're building that database. It's on a mandatory basis. You might think, well, hey, they can't do that. Well, folks, shared before that they're already doing that with the blood. In Florida, the police, they're setting up DUI checkpoints that if they suspect that you're drunk, and if you refuse the breathalyzer, they're going to draw your blood. And you might think, well, hey, that's unconstitutional, but hey, who cares, folks? It's already gone to court. A guy took it to court and went to the federal appeals court, and they refused to stop the government from taking DNA from this guy. He was a prisoner, and he said that it violated the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. It violated the First, the Fourth, the Fifth Amendments of the Constitution, and the court said, oh, well. So, and then the bill that nobody seemed to notice was the National DNA Databank, thanks to former President Bush, that was signed into law April of 2008, and allows the federal government to screen the DNA of all newborn babies in the United States. Okay? And so, folks, here we clearly see that right now they can what? Require, they can make, they can force, mandatorily take something from inside you. But see, that's step one. Step two is now we're used to that. they go to step two, and now they mandatorily put something inside you.
Could you, when you have a moment, could you cover that interchange between Senator Biden when he was a senator before he became vice president, and, of course, Chief Justice Roberts when he was certainly being considered to become the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court? I think that's vitally important.
Oh, absolutely. I have it right here. This was absolutely amazing. You talk about interesting timing. We just had another one of those events go on. While everybody is absolutely enthralled, and it's been the media circus with the death of Michael Jackson, folks, there's a lesson I learned many years ago that any time that the media plays event over and over and over again redundantly, that's the time you better pay attention to what's going on in Congress, okay, and what's going on with the government. And certainly what's going on with the Michael Jackson, at the height of that, the Congress passed, this is kind of a side note, the cap and trade bill. And if you haven't checked that out, folks, you need to, because that's the, we're toast. And they snuck it in at the height of his death. So anyway, a similar thing happened with what you're talking about, Dr. Monti. At the height of Hurricane Katrina, they were doing the congressional hearings of Judge John Roberts, who was being proposed for the America's Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, which of course he was allowed. But during that time, I had a person several years ago email me out of the blue the actual video clip. And during that video clip, and we share this on the video, folks, Final Countdown, the then Senator Joseph Biden, who now is the Vice President of the United States, folks, here's what he said during that hearing. This is a direct quote. He says, "And we will be faced with equally consequential decisions in the 21st century." He said, "Can a microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement?" He said, "There's actual discussion about that. You will rule on that, mark my words, before your tenure is over." And then he says, "Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined towards criminality or violent behavior? You will rule on that." Now, folks, Judge John Roberts has been the Chief Justice for a few years now, and then Senator Joseph Biden made that creepy prediction several years ago at the height of Katrina. I wonder when he's going to be ruling on that. Folks, this is not science fiction. This is what is coming out of the mouth of the people that who are in our government and a lot of people who are behind this system. They are going to mandatorily, just exactly like Revelation 13 says, they are going to require, they are going to cause, they are going to make you take one of these things if you are unfortunate to be in the time of tribulation. And if you don't think so, folks, they've already started that with people being mandatory putting things inside their bodies. They're doing it with vaccines. Okay, children are required in public school in various places. They're being forced to take vaccines, whether they want to or not, if you're going to continue in public education, which I don't recommend, by the way, once you homeschool. But they're also moving towards adults. Folks, you need to pay attention to some of the laws that have been passed that allow for mandatory vaccinations. There's the Project BioShield Act of 2004. There's the Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act that was in law of 2006, which allows the secretary to declare any disease as an epidemic or national emergency requiring, quote, mandatory vaccinations. And, of course, that's what they're trying to scare us now with the swine flu, et cetera, et cetera. But you might be thinking, okay, they'll just stick to vaccines. You know, that's the only thing that they will force into our bodies. Wrong again, folks. They're going to force us to take the chip. They've already started with soldiers. We shared this video clip on our Book of Revelation study from CNN, folks. They're using it to track troops. Listen to this, quote, "The military is already using some type of GPS on soldiers, but what more can be done when they go lost or they're missing? Could tracking devices put on their bodies help find them faster? One option, placing a tracking microchip under a service member's skin. Former U.S. Special Operations officers tell us they believe that's being developed. After all, some law enforcement units back home have experimented with implanting chips that give physical data about the officers." And not only with soldiers, they're doing it to prisoners. They're going to chip them just like dogs, folks. Listen to this. "Officials are planning to implant machine-readable microchips under the skin of thousands of offenders as part of an expansion of electronic tagging scheme that would create more space in jails. Instead of being contained on bracelets worn around the ankle, the tiny chips would be surgically inserted under the skin of offenders in the community to help enforce home curfews." It says the tags are already being used around the world to keep track of dogs, cats, cattle, airport luggage. hey, why not people? And there's a move in line with the proposal that electronic chips should also be surgically implanted in convicted pedophiles and sex offenders in order to track them more easily using GPS technology to prevent them from going to forbidden zones. Okay, and one guy says, hey, if we're prepared to track cars, why don't we also track people? In fact, one company plans with these implants, they could use them to vibrate, listen, electroshock the implantee, broadcast a message, or serve as a microphone to transmit conversations. And one person said, hey, listen, some folks might foolishly discount all of these as some futuristic nightmare and think that they're necessary for proposed criminals like rapists and murders. But they said, quote, the rest of us could be next, and they're absolutely right.
Okay, our guest has been Pastor Billy Crone of the Frontier Niagara Baptist Church. You'll want to see his Final Countdown DVD series. We think it's one of the most important things we carry. Well, Pastor Crone, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, one last thing that's interesting, Dr. Monteith, they're not only doing it in soldiers and prisoners, but they're also proposing in Indonesia to implant required.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a 1-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
And you can get part one of the Final Countdown, or you can get part two, or you can get them both together at a decreased a purchase cost, suggested cost, and we recommend this to you. We've also taken our programs, and we actually are going to put them into CDs so you can listen to them in the car, and you want to listen to them several times so that you can discuss this intelligently. We call this Countdown to Armageddon, and we only have one so far. I just have to take the time to get the part two and part three together, but you can get the Countdown to Armageddon, which is a CD transcripts of the radio programs we've done. But the DVDs are excellent because you'll actually see the clips many times put out by the advertisers, by IBM, bragging about how they're going to be able to monitor everything and everyone. Understand, this is not imaginary. It's very real. Everything is in place for, of course, the fulfillment of the prophecies. Final countdown, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we also suggest that if you would like to get some of the other DVDs he has, we carry the ten DVDs, actually two, five DVD sets on creation. We carry his four DVD set, and that is on RFID identification, a really amazing video clips put out by the manufacturers telling exactly how they're planning on using these RFID identification chips to track people and shape our ideas and beliefs and our tastes. And then, of course, there's simply a one DVD set. It's called Get a Life. It's the story of Pastor Billy Crone, his life before he became a Christian, and then his finding the acceptance of the Lord and leading him into the ministry. It's an amazing story, and we really enjoy having him with us. And that's our telephone number again, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com, and I hope you'll go there. You'll look at all the various items that we have. You'll watch our DVDs. You'll read our newsletters. You'll listen to our radio programs. And of course, you can listen 9 hours a day on the satellite feed. There's 4 hours of live programming there. There is another program at the American Freedom Network we do early in the morning. Our Saturday programs are posted. You can pull these down on MP3 or blog. You can listen to the archives, you can listen to programs live, or you can listen on the satellite feed, and it's all without charge. If you're in a position to help us, I can tell you we would really like to hear from you. Or if you know anybody who'd like to advertise on our programs, we have an opportunity to pick up a number of other stations, but of course we have the financial constraints we have to do with what is provided, what the Lord provides for us. So if you know anybody, certainly in the areas where the program is heard, who would like to have us carry their ads, specifically we're hoping that we might find some advertisers in the eastern part of the state of Washington, where we have a number of outlets. Why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Our book, Brotherhood of Darkness, is featured in Prophecy in the News magazine this month. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. If you'd like to get a copy, we think it's probably one of the simplest little books to explain the true nature of the spiritual battle we're involved in today. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get the DVD. You can get the book. And then, of course, you'll want to get our talk on the Forbidden Secret and the syllabus goes with that. Our talk on financial Armageddon, to understand that everything going on today is all contrived. They've created this chaos, financial chaos, because they want to destroy our society and impoverish our people and make us malleable and willing to go along with the directives of the new leaders, the New World Order, the New World Religion, the New World Leader. And then please pray for America, pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
The night with the light from above, from the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. John West, and we're going to be talking about faith and evolution. Certainly, at one time, why they taught that God created the heavens and the earth in our schools, and at those times where we had an entirely different educational system, and we really were working for educational excellence, but all that seems to have changed, and now they're not even allowed to mention creation in many of our school districts across America. Our children know far more about Madonna than they do about mathematics, far more about sex than they do about Shakespeare. We've dumbed down our children, but one of the most significant things they've done is use the educational system to destroy the faith of our children, because, of course, by teaching evolution, why they have actually pointed out that the Bible obviously is not right. I mean, if evolution is true, then the Bible is a lie, and if they lie about where mankind and life came from, they must be lying about everything, and then we wonder why we have the chaotic situation and the lawlessness in our nation today, in a nation where you can't even post the Ten Commandments in school or mention Jesus Christ or even God. And we certainly could never tell our children, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. Well, let's go to our special guest this evening. Dr. John West is going to be talking to us about this very, very problem. Dr. West, thank you so very much for being with us.
Dr. Stan, thanks for having me.
Why don't you just tell our listeners just a little bit about who you are, your background, and why, of course, you're trying to educate people about faith and evolution.
Sure. Well, my background is as a social scientist. I was a college professor for 12 years, and I've written a number of books. The last one was called Darwin Day in America, and it focused on the impact of Darwinism and other forms of materialism on our culture, including really ethics and family life and economics and social policy and sort of the devaluation of life. So my area sort of as a focus as a scholar is on sort of the impact of ideas on culture, and particularly the devastating impact that Darwinism has had. And why I'm interested in this whole issue of faith and evolution, as part of Discovery Institute, we just actually created a website called faithandevolution.org, because there's a whole lot of confusion that seems to be out there about how those two things relate. On the one hand, you have people like Oxford Darwinist Richard Dawkins, atheist extraordinaire, author of The God Delusion a couple of years ago, who says, you know, Darwin helps you become an intellectually fulfilled atheist. And then on the other side, you have some people like, say, Francis Collins, a noted Christian, who is out there arguing, well, hey, Darwinism is completely compatible with his Christian faith, or at least that's what he says, and this ends up spreading confusion. And so we wanted to do this website to basically allow people to dig deeper into, well, what are, first of all, some of the scientific problems with Darwin's theory? What's the evidence for that things were designed for a purpose? What is this? How do faith and evolution really relate? And what's the history of it? And we even have a section called Debates where you can go and see what some other people like Richard Dawkins says and the people who refute him.
All right, fine. Well, I think it's an important subject. I think that Christians really have to know how to defend their faith. And where you really start, is with an understanding, is it true that God created the heaven and the earth? And or is this simply another one of the myths of the Bible? Or maybe the Bible is absolutely accurate, and I hold that to the infallibility of the Scriptures. But we have to know how to defend our faith, because we really are involved in a spiritual battle. Well, please go right ahead.
Oh, okay. Yes, I mean, I agree that this is really a significant thing. And again, the confusion... I think a lot of people think, oh, that's just something out there. That's what academics think. It doesn't really matter to me or my family. Well, I don't think people realize how devastating this can be. I mean, last year, in fact, we have this profiled on our site, and there's actually audio of the interview with a father of someone named Jesse Kilgore. Jesse was actually a very active Christian student who was involved in apologetics and debating with non-Christians. Then he went to community college, and a professor said, well, you really need to read Richard Dawkins' The God Delusion. Now, here was a kid who actually was trained in to deal, again, debate with non-Christians and things, but that book he wasn't prepared to deal with because he really hadn't studied the issue, and it devastated him, and he ended up losing his faith, and even more tragically, he ended up actually committing suicide. And I'm not trying to claim that anyone who reads The God Delusion is going to commit suicide, but I think the tragic case of Jesse really just shows just how devastating this can be to your worldview. I mean, if we really are coming from a universe that is just the blind and purposeless, product of blind matter and energy with no purpose, no higher transcendent intelligence, no God, that, if you really end up believing that, that can devastate your life. And in fact, it probably should devastate your life because that's a horrible thing. And you see this, we've seen this time and again, at a lesser level with students and things. And so parents really need to be concerned not only about how they view things, but preparing their kids because they may not want to deal with it. They may try to insulate their kids, but we don't live in hermetically sealed rooms. And really, nor should we. And so if they don't prepare their kids to deal with this, their kids are going to get it in either high school or college, even at religious colleges. I taught for 12 years at a Christian college, and I think some parents would be surprised at what students are exposed to at some Christian colleges. And, this whole area of, say, theistic evolution, I think people really need to define what they mean by evolution. I think a lot of Christians think, well, evolution is just change over time, or we can, and certainly God could have used that process. What they don't realize is the modern theory of evolution that goes back to Darwin was defined by Darwin himself as an unguided, undirected process. He thought he was refuting the idea that life developed really as guided by God. And he thought that natural selection acting on random variations refuted.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Dr. West has taught at a Christian college as a professor for 12 years, but he's concerned about what a lot of our children are getting even in Christian colleges. Pointing out that, of course, what Darwin taught was that certainly the creation, the advanced development of the species has all occurred simply by random chance. There is no pattern. There is no guiding principle behind anything. Everything happens by chance. Well, I'll tell you what, you've got to have an awful lot of faith to believe that if you look at the perfect order of, say, of astronomy or the perfect order of physics or the perfect order of the periodic table in chemistry, the perfect order of music. I mean, music follows certain specific patterns. Mathematics does as well. There are laws of physics. There are laws of chemistry. And we're supposed to think that all of these things, as well as humanity and animals and plant life, all just happen by chance?
No, that really is incredible, but that's sort of mainstream thinking. And the sad thing is that there are people who speak as Christians who are saying, well, let's really try to accommodate this, and how are they suggesting it? Well, one approach is by a biologist named Ken Miller, who wrote a book called Finding Darwin's God, which is actually used in a lot of Christian colleges. And Ken Miller argues that, well, maybe God himself doesn't know how evolution would turn out. And I actually was on a panel with Dr. Miller where I pressed him, well, just how far do you take this? You say that you're a Christian, and what do you mean that God himself doesn't know, how evolution would turn out? And he said, well, it could have been a big brain dinosaur or a thinking clam, and God really, or us. And God himself didn't know which it would be, because evolution is an unguided process. And this is someone who wrote a book, again, a best-selling book that's used in a number of Christian colleges. And that is, I think, really doesn't make sense.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to sell books and you want to make a lot of money, you go along with the establishment. If you want to write a book that nobody's ever going to read in all probability, then, of course, you get up and said, you know, God said this and I believe it, it's true. And then you try to develop a scientific rationale for creation, and I think it's a lot easier to prove creation than to prove that everything is just happenstance, that there is no master plan, there is no organization, everything is just by random chance. That takes an awful lot of faith to believe that.
It certainly does. I think you've hit on something really key, which a lot of the Christians who are trying to sort of accommodate this, even by watering down their faith, are doing so out of really wanting to be loved by the world and wanting to have the approval, really, of the wrong people. And that's unfortunate. And they're doing it because it will help advance their careers. Or even if they don't do it consciously, it's much easier to go with the flow than against it and say, this doesn't make sense.
You're absolutely right. And, of course, you know, if you get up, in fact, I have a friend of mine, Senator Mountjoy, who used to be in the state senate here in California, and there was this big debate between the, should we legalize the homosexuality or should we not, and the Republicans were giving their reasons and the Democrats were giving their reasons. And Senator Mountjoy got up and said, homosexuality is wrong because God said it's wrong. He sat down, and the whole chamber just went into total confusion. Mm. I mean, that anybody would call upon the name of God to say that God said it's wrong and that's why it's wrong. People always want to use rationale to explain their positions, and yet, you know, I think that probably we're far better off to say, God said this, I believe he said it, and this is what I believe, and I believe it's right.
I certainly think, you know, Christians should be, you know, stand on the word of God, although I do actually think that there's a long sort of great history of Christian rationalism in the right sense, in that God, who gave us our minds, God made, you know, evidence clear, as you've even pointed out, you know, the evidence and the order in nature, which was something that actually inspired the scientific method, inspired the early scientists to think, because we have an orderly God who we can expect that nature is orderly and we can actually understand that, and that really became the impetus for modern science. So I think that, you know, faith and reason really should go together, and that the people like Richard Dawkins of the world, who tried to claim that, you know, the evidence is against Christianity or the evidence is against God, they're actually really distorting the evidence, and I don't think we should cede that ground to them, you know, because I think the evidence is really strong. Now, of course, we're sinful and we do distort things, but the evidence surely is a lot stronger for a Christian position on a whole variety of things than it is for an atheist position.
Well, this is why we wanted to have you on. We wanted you to present the positions that so we can learn, and we can, of course, give this information and be able to project it to others. Christians have to learn how, from a rational point of view, to proclaim their faith, as well as just to say, it's a matter of faith. But certainly you're not going to reach a lot of people by making that statement. You've got to give them a rational reason why, a scientific reason why they're wrong and you're right. So you pick up the story, please.
Yes, well, you know, this is the whole area of science, I think, is one where, you know, you have the amazing account that, again, Christianity and the idea that there was a creator really inspired the scientific revolution. But then we had Darwin and some of his compatriots coming around in the 19th century that really tried to turn the story on its head and try to create the idea that Christianity has somehow been opposed to science. And I think that Christians really need to arm themselves with the truth about just how positive, you know, Christianity has been, opposed to, say, paganism. In the pagan world, where they thought that things really were chaotic and then that chance really ruled and fortune really ruled, that really made it hard to do the sort of scientific investigation that people did. So we really need to be able to tell the truth about the history of science, because one of the big lies being told about this whole area of faith and science and faith and evolution is that Christians should be embarrassed and should think that Christianity is somehow anti-science, when nothing is further from the truth. And Christians and parents and, again, their kids need to know the real history there. And then they also need to know the real facts right now about evolution, because as you point out, that nature just screams design. And it's even some of my friends, I have a molecular biologist friend who studies protein sequences. Might sound kind of dry, but in fact, he found something amazing about the protein sequences that he studies. You'd think that there might be dozens or hundreds of different ways for these sequences to form together to be a working protein sequence. Turns out, not so. Among the sequences he works on, there is literally one in a trillion, 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 trillion combinations that will work at all. Now, to think that a blind process of natural selection acting on random mutations can somehow find that one combination out of a trillion, 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 trillion possible combinations that will work at all is just incredible. And yet you need, before you can have us, let alone a bird, let alone a flea, you have to have lots of working protein sequences. And so, but just to get one of them, it is just incredible to think that a blind process like Darwinian evolution could reach that. And you know, this was, my friend was actually a researcher for many years at a lab at Cambridge University. So there's a whole crop of really bright scientists, PhDs, philosophers of science, especially in the last two decades, who have come to the conclusion based on a lot of evidence that Darwin's theory isn't really what it's stacked up to be. And the evidence for design, not only in biology, but as you point out, physics, astronomy, in origin of life chemistry, I mean, what it takes to get DNA that works, I mean, it's just shot through with design. And so when people like Richard Dawkins write books calling, you know, the God delusion and somehow say that science disproves God, really people should laugh at that, because it is just, it's if it weren't so serious, it would be silly, the claim that they're making. It's sort of the emperor has no clothes.
Well, you know, I was an orthopedic surgeon for many years, and I, of course, we would cut people open, cut off their hand. I mean, the human hand is really a master of structure, the way it is put together, the various little pulleys there that keep the tendons from bridging, from actually, and make the hand work as it does. Even the ability of the thumb. Man is the only animal in the whole world that has a thumb that can come into opposition. It can come over and touch his little finger. Lots of animals have hands, but none of them have a hand that has the dexterity of the human hand. But even the animals' hands, we watch squirrels, we have some squirrels outside of our kitchen window, and we can watch those little hands on the squirrels and how they function. And to think that we're supposed to believe this just happened by accident, I mean, anybody who sits down and really is rational, you know, has to realize that none of this happens simply by accident. Reproduction does not happen by accident. The animal eye, the human eye, the hearing process, each one is so intricate, and of course it's amazing that they function as well as they do, and that most people certainly can go through their whole life without having any serious problems with it. But really, Chris, the opposition is based upon a hatred against God, and then they'll come up with all their explanations, but none of them are really valid, because they can't tell you where life came from. In fact, right now they're trying to tell us, well, it really came from another planet, that's why.
Yeah.
But, of course, then where did the life come from on the other planet? And they have no explanation.
Similarly, when all the evidence shows that physics and astronomy and the fine-tuning of the universe to allow for life to develop is just, again, just precisely fine-tuned to allow life to exist. So how do they get beyond that? Well, they say, well, maybe there are multiple universes. There's no evidence for multiple universes, but it's sort of their escape hatch, because if they don't believe in multiple universes, then the probabilities of, you know, the universe producing the sort of life that you see in Earth is just too incredible, and they know that. And so they have to come up with some inventive way to avoid the clear, you know, what the clear evidence points to.
And, of course, these people are a disgrace to science. Science is a search for truth. These people have a religion. It's based upon a hatred of God. And they are not being rational, and I fear that many of them really know it.
No, that's right. And I think they fear it. And that is, in fact, why I think they're so strident in trying to really persecute people who hold a different position.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Of evolution, why then, of course, you begin to turn your back on God, and then you turn your back on absolutes. In other words, if there is no God, if God did not design everything and everything does not follow a pattern, then what about morality? Well, is morality more or less equivocal? Of course, Dr. West was saying that Darwin was actually trained as what, as an evolutionary zoologist?
I was saying that Alfred Kinsey.
Kinsey was trained
as an evolutionary zoologist, and so before he studied human sexuality, he first studied gall wasps. And the approach that he took when he turned to studying human sexuality was really his approach as a Darwinian zoologist, that if you find something in nature, some behavior, that it must have originally been created because of natural selection. And so basically all behaviors are, in some sense, morally equal. And that certainly was his approach to human sexuality, that if you find no matter what behavior, and he covered a lot of things that even today people, even after the sexual revolution, I think would not agree with, but it is just as equal as any other behavior. And so, I mean, this was really a tight connection between really his views on sexuality and his training as a Darwinian zoologist.
But of course, I think that many times people fall under certainly dark spiritual views, and certainly having studied Kinsey and read the writings of Dr. Judith Reisman, and she's a personal friend of ours. Kinsey was deeply involved with the occult. He was a disciple of a man named Aleister Crowley, who was a Satanist. And basically, of course, in sexual immorality, there really is a defiance of God's laws. God has certain laws as far as relationships between the sexes, and certainly has a great deal to say in the Holy Scriptures about homosexuality and about lesbianism. But there is a spiritual energy that really motivates so much of what's going on there. And I think that certainly Harry Hay, who organized the homosexual movement, Alfred Kinsey, Hugh Hefner, were all in one way or another involved in the occult. And that really is the basis of course, what they were teaching, and their conscious, organized effort to destroy the morality of this nation, because I believe God hates that Satan hates a virtuous nation.
Well, there certainly was a lot of spiritual darkness in Alfred Kinsey, and you're right, and Judith Reisman really does lay it out, and some of Kinsey's other biographers. I mean, it's just, that's, you know, the thing, people think that this is liberating, but in fact, if you look at that's the lie sold by the culture, but if you look at someone like Kinsey in his personal life, by the end of his life, what a sad individual. I mean, your heart actually has to go out to him because this is a person who engaged in all sorts of horrific practices, sexually and otherwise, and what a sad individual. And the light in him was darkness, and it was, and great was the darkness. And it's not just Kinsey. In fact, Darwin, although he was sort of, like I said, a proper 19th century Victorian, his loss of faith in God is also just very tragic. I know sometimes one of the things we have on our website is an answer to the question, people often ask, well, they heard that Darwin had a deathbed conversion. Well, unfortunately for him, the evidence for that is really non-existent, and we have one of the parts of our website actually goes through the evidence so you can see on that. But one of the tragic things, if you read his writings, he has a particularly poignant passage where he says, you know, earlier in his life when he'd stand in the midst of a Brazilian rainforest, he'd just be so awed by the sense of wonder and really think that, you know, God must have created it. But now that he's discovered the law of, you know, natural selection acting on random variations, that even the grandest scenes in nature wouldn't inspire any such awe. How tragic.
It really is, because I don't know if you know Ravi Zacharias,
yeah,
but one of his favorite statements is, he said, you know, there are absolutes, there are rights and wrongs. He said he likes to bring up in his debates with the people who say there are no absolutes, there are no right and wrong. He said, well, you know, I know some people who like to want to love their neighbors. There are other people who want to eat their neighbors. What would your selection be? And, of course, what can you say? I mean, there is a right, there is a wrong, and we consider it wrong to want to eat our neighbors, and yet we have cannibals in the world today. And there are laws, and we begin to violate those laws, whether it be the laws of physics or the laws of morality, and we see all sorts of problems developing. We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. John West here at Radio Liberty. Well, Dr. West, you go right ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, another thing besides the impact on morality is the impact of Darwinism on the sanctity of human life. And you mentioned some of the Nazi experience, and I earlier mentioned eugenics. I don't think people realize just how significant a connection there is between Darwinism and the really devaluation of human life even today. And Darwin himself, again, wrote in his book, The Descent of Man, he lamented that and warned that we were destroying the human race because, in his view, we were inoculating people against smallpox, helping the poor, trying to save the sick, and basically saving people who he said nature would have killed off. Now, he did go on to say, because he was a compassionate guy in his private life, that, oh, well, our sense of compassion won't allow us to do anything else. But think about it. But he said, our reason basically tells us that we're about to destroy our human race by doing these kind things. Well, just think about it. If you're actually saying that reason is telling us that we are destroying our race by helping the poor and sick and disabled, and then, oh, well, we can't really do anything about it because, you know, it would be unkind. I mean, you're setting up a sort of standard that you know, have to know is going to be violated. And, in fact, Darwin himself, if you remember, in his view, morality is ultimately that which promoted survival. So just because we're kind and compassionate now, why are we kind and compassionate? Well, in Darwin's view, because that helped survival. Well, if it no longer helps survival, then what's wrong with killing off the handicapped or sterilizing the people, you know, considered unfit, in his view? And that, of course, led to the whole eugenics campaign, which in America led to tens of thousands of people being sterilized, 20,000 in California, many of whom today wouldn't be considered mentally handicapped. These were, in fact, the people sterilized were largely people who were not necessarily handicapped. If you were really handicapped and out of it, you probably weren't getting married and doing things. You might have been in an institution, but the people they were trying to sterilize were people who looked normal, but who Darwinian biologists said, by studying your pedigree of who you were born from, we can tell you that you really are feeble-minded. Even if you can hold a job, even if you can read, even if you were a functioning citizen, we know, because of studying your pedigree, we might not even have to see you. In the case of Carrie Buck, who was sterilized, and the Supreme Court basically allowed it, she was branded feeble-minded by a doctor who never even saw her. And again, later in life, she was classified as perfectly normal. But this was being...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. West is simply talking about the outgrowth of Darwin's ideas. And the outgrowth of Darwin's ideas, and remember, he was writing in the middle 1800s, the outgrowth of Darwin's ideas was the eugenic movement here in the United States, led by Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood, and of course they were sterilizing people, forcibly sterilizing tens of thousands of people. Dr. West mentioned 20,000 were forcibly sterilized, legally sterilized right here in the state of California, and some of these people were perfectly normal, but they were deemed by society because of their background, because of perhaps their heredity, because other people in their families had been criminals, that they should be sterilized. And of course, these ideas were picked up by the Germans, and certainly the Germans continued the eugenic concepts that originated in the United States with Margaret Sanger and her birth control movement, her eugenic movement. And then, of course, what the Nazis did, and certainly Herbert Hess said, Nazism is simply applied science. And first it was the elderly and the infirmed, and then the Jews and the Gypsies, and then the Christians, and probably close to, well, at least 18 million people were intentionally killed. We never talk about the 12 million others because they were primarily Christians. And, of course, you'll find that in a book called Warrant for Genocide by Professor Norman Cohn, who talks about the 6 million Jews who were killed and then mentions there were 12 million others in Germany. And, of course, they were predominantly Christians. He doesn't say that, but at that time, Germany was a Christian nation. That's not true today. It just is today. America is no longer a Christian nation. It's been decreed by the man who sits in the White House, we're not a Christian nation. But if you look and see what's happening, the morality of our nation has been eroded, and we have probably as many divorces within the church as without the church, and even among ministers, one of the highest incidences of divorce in the entire nation. There is a sickness that's gripped our nation, because we've turned our back on the Bible and God's teaching. But pick up, Dr. West.
Well, I just say you're exactly right about Germany. Actually, it turns out, had its own homegrown eugenics movement that went back really to the time of just shortly after Darwin, because Ernst Haeckel, main German Darwinist, was a colleague of Darwin, and so they had their own homegrown eugenics movement, but then they did have a lot of connections with the American eugenics movement, like Margaret Sanger, and so they sort of cross-fertilized. And it is true that even though the German movement was homegrown, they looked to America because it was America that had the first forced sterilization laws, and so Germany used that and actually did use that as an example. So, but you know, it's even with us today. And that's the thing, you know, after World War II, obviously what happened in Germany fortunately gave eugenics a bad name, but it sort of went underground. And you saw it rise again in the 1960s with the move to legalize abortion. And if you read the, as I did for my book, Darwin Day in America, some of the archives of some of the key people who were supporting legalized abortion, like Frederick Osborne, former head of the American Eugenics Society, but then became the president of the Population Council, one of the big, you know, worldwide promoters of population control. He was very clear in his private writings that with things like the legalization of abortion, that the goal of that was the same as the earlier eugenics movement. And that, in fact, now they just would do it under the banner freedom of choice. But the goal was the same. It was trying to get rid of the unfit in Darwinian terms. And it was pretty shocking to me when I found, you know, I had sort of heard this, but when I actually read it among, you know, the leaders saying that, it was an eye-opening experience.
I don't think most people understand that the move for abortion and women's rights is really all about eugenics, because this is primarily here in the United States aimed at the black, and certainly the black have far more abortions, and their far more abortions are encouraged by Planned Parenthood, which is a racist organization, which funded with our tax dollars, and a lot of those tax dollars are sent to China to fund their one-child policy.
Mm-hmm.
We might as well kill off the Chinese, because after all, they are inferior, or are they? Is every individual a unique individual made in the image and likeness of God? If that is true, why is America funding the one-child policy which still exists in China today? But of course, we're never going to hear about that on CBS or certainly ABC or NBC or 60 Minutes or 2020, because of course these things make Americans feel a little uneasy to realize our tax dollars are being used to kill unborn children throughout the world.
You know, the latest extrapolation from Darwinism is not just devaluing some humans over others, it's devaluing human life, period, as opposed to, you know, the lower animals. And so you have Peter Singer, one of the nation's leading bioethicists at Princeton University, who explicitly says that, you know, Darwin really changed things. We used to think that human beings were somehow special, created in the image of God, you know, somehow different from the rest of, you know, the lower animals. And he says that's, we now know because of Darwin that's not true. And so what's the implication? Well, it means for him that you should have just excessive concern about animal rights, and of course I think we should treat animals, you know, kindly and respectfully, but whereas that a healthy pig has more of a right to live than a handicapped newborn human. And so on the one hand, he's, you know, completely trying to say that we, you know, should treat animals with basically the equivalent of human rights, but Peter Singer argues on the other side that parents should be able to kill their handicapped children. And it's just outrageous. But here is someone who's not on the fringe. He should be on the fringe, but he's at Princeton University. But it's not just in places like Princeton. University of Texas, you know, deep in the heart of the Bible Belt, has a zoologist named Eric Pianka. And what does he believe? He thinks that human beings are a blight on biodiversity. He's a Darwinian zoologist. And he actually advocates getting rid of up to 90% of the human population. And, you know, it's really staggering. And he argues that if you have more than two kids, the government should take away all your income. I mean, it's hard to, I found this out, again, researching my book, and, you know, many people listening may not say, that's just too incredible to believe. Go, and, you know, go to my book, go to other sources, you can see the actual evidence. You know, I would hope that this was too incredible to believe. Unfortunately, it's true. I mean, these people exist, and they're at mainstream institutions funded, in the case of the University of Texas, by people's tax dollars. And that's really outrageous.
I agree with you totally. And the average individual doesn't really understand. He finds it impossible to believe that there really is a program to kill off the majority of the world's population. It's taking place throughout the world today. And certainly if you go to Africa and the AIDS epidemic, you will find that in South Africa, 40% of the adult population is HIV infected. In Botswana, and we have these figures from the U.S. Department of Commerce, which spends our money going down to see what a great job our public health policies are doing in Botswana. 46% of the pregnant women, because they test every pregnant woman for HIV, 46% are HIV infected, and they're all going to die. And the Botswana public health authorities want to use standard and effective public health approaches to stop the epidemic. And, of course, we won't let them. We threaten to cut off their funds if they dare to try to stop that epidemic. And talk about the height of hypocrisy. And the average individual has no idea how our tax money is being used, for instance, to perpetuate the malaria epidemic, which doesn't kill a million a year. It kills 3 million a year, according to the CDC, and we have their statistics on it. But they don't want to tell the American people that they know that DDT would control malaria in Africa as it controlled it here in the United States. We won't allow it. In fact, we've now outlawed DDT so that by another couple of years you won't be able to produce it at all. And it's outlawed not because it doesn't work or it's dangerous for the environment, but because it's saving so many human lives. That, of course, is what the American people are never allowed to know.
There are a lot of really challenging things happening, you know, all around the world. I think, you know, getting back to this whole issue of evolution and sort of theistic evolution, you know, another approach that some Christians argue, like, and this approach is taken by Francis Collins, formerly of the Human Genome Project, who is touted for his Christian credentials, but he argues, again, in favor of Darwin's theory and says, well, maybe God directed, but he made it look like it was an undirected process. So he sort of proclaims a God who's sort of a cosmic trickster who hides his activities. You know, this is really the complete opposite of what Paul teaches in Romans, what the entire Christian tradition has taught about God revealing himself through the, you know, intricacies and beauties of nature. And here you have, again, someone arguing in his book, The Language of God, that God made the development of life look like an undirected and random process. And again, I think that is really flies in the face of Christian tradition. So I think there's a real need for Christians to be discerning. And just because someone says that they're a Christian, they may, you know, personally be very sincere, but that doesn't mean that what they're teaching is correct. And people really need to be discerning about what they hear.
I agree with you totally. I think we have to say, you know, if you even stop and think about, you know, simply the makeup of a DNA, you know, a molecule. I mean, this could not have happened by accident. The way that the gene works simply like a switch where you can turn it off and on by other genes, other molecules, and when it's turned on, it'll produce molecules. When it's turned off, it won't produce molecules. Mm-hmm. This whole thing is in perfect order.
And it's really interesting you mentioned the DNA, because one of the Darwinian explanations to try to show that, well, this had nothing to do with any sort of design or purpose, is they said, well, the majority of DNA is what's called junk DNA that has no purpose because it doesn't code for proteins. Well, lo and behold, just within the last few years, it turns out that most of what these Darwinian biologists, especially Richard Dawkins was one of the worst, wrote off as junk DNA, turns out that it is not only functional, it may be some of the most important DNA we have, because it involves some of these regulatory functions that you're talking about that actually helps guide what the coding proteins do. And so it's just, yet again, the scientific evidence has sort of refuted the sort of Darwinian myth, and yet are the Darwinists changing their view? No. Now they say, well, now this shows just how wonderful natural selection was, that it even made this so-called junk DNA functional? Well, I mean, you know, they've really created a theory that no matter what the evidence is, if it says, if it shows A, then it proves it, and if it shows the not A, it proves it.
Well, what we need to do is I think we need to know what we believe in. We cannot be afraid to proclaim it, but we have to understand how to present it in a logical sequence so that our listeners can understand. And certainly what I do, you know, in talk radio, is to put forward ideas, and I'm not really dealing with the individual I'm talking to. I'm dealing with an audience out there, hoping to give them a frame of reference that they can utilize in their own lives to proclaim the gospel, even if we're simply discussing something like evolution or like creation. Because, of course, this is the very essence of this battle that exists today, the spiritual battle for the souls of men. And we have to have people understand that we can see God in creation every place we look.
And, you know, one of the purposes of our website, faithandevolution.org, is to provide people with answers and things that they can easily understand, but also that they could dig deeper. And there's audio and video, and there's even a section of discussion questions that can be used in Sunday school classes for adults and small groups and personal home study. And so we try to make this as a friendly and easy to use site as possible. And so it collects the data from a lot of scholars and scientists, but it tries to put it in a way that's really understandable and that people can use, or and point other people who may not even be Christians too. Well, you know, here's something that actually summarizes the evidence here. And, in fact, here's a place where there's a debate going on where you can see what Richard Dawkins says, but then see what the people and the scholars say who are refuting him. And you can actually compare. You know, if you really are open to the evidence, why shouldn't you be willing to look at what not only what Richard Dawkins says, but what some of the people who oppose him say?
What does Richard Dawkins say about the perfect order of everything in the physical universe? Because everything is in perfect order. Certainly the relationships between the stars, the laws of gravity, certainly our response to sunlight, and certainly the production chlorophyll so that we can actually take a CO2 and convert it into oxygen. How does he explain this perfect order that allows the forest to grow and the fields to bloom and certainly the people to reproduce? Does he have any explanation, or does he go on to all sorts of abstract things and ignore the most obvious thing in the world, and that is that the world could not have happened as we know it by accident?
Yeah, isn't natural selection, survival of the fittest, blind process great? It can do anything. I mean, even Richard Dawkins, I will admit, is stumped when people press him, for example, on, we now know that in DNA and to form all that, you have what's known as biological information that actually functions just like a language code. How can a blind process of chance and necessity create that? And in fact, this is one of the big questions in biology now that is stumping biologists. Where do you get biological information? You can't really get it from a blind process of chance and necessity. At least, you know, it doesn't seem to be that case. And so what's the answer? Well, Richard Dawkins doesn't have an answer. And in fact, when he was once asked that, he just stumbled all over himself trying to create a non-answer. And he was stumped. And just like, which has actually gotten him at some point, you mentioned earlier in the program, you know, they say, well, space aliens or something. And, you know, that's basically where he and then Francis Crick and others sort of come down. When they're stumped about the origin of life from non-life, how did it get started, they have to say, well, maybe it was seeded here by extraterrestrials. You know, anything to avoid the idea that there's a transcendent creator.
Well, all we can do, we're probably never going to convince them, but it's the other people that they have convinced that we have to get to think and to challenge what they've learned. I went to college, and when I went there, I really believed in God, and by the time I got out, I didn't really know whether it was a God or not. They, you know, the professors set out to destroy my faith. They did a pretty good job of it, because I was pretty young when I graduated, and it took me a long time to unlearn all the things I'd learned in college. All those things about the Cambrian layers and about the evolution and all these various relationships. Oh, the Piltdown Man. When I went to college, the Piltdown Man was the missing link. Then it turned out it was a total fraud. It had been a fraud for 50 years. And all the scientists have embraced it as the missing link. And, of course, it...
Every new month seems to come another missing link. And then that's when that's buried, then they have to come up with a new one. That's the other thing. People just need to look at the track record of all the predictions that have turned out not to be the case.
Well, I think that if we look at history and we realize that these men have, really are not scientists at all, they're frauds, and I believe Richard Dawkins fits into that category.
He hasn't been doing a lot of real science for a long time.
You've got...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Accident. And how do you explain the perfect order? I mean, how do you explain that you have men and male and female, and you have to actually produce both of them at the same time if you're ever going to have reproduction? How do you explain that? Where did life begin? And that's the one question they don't want you to ask, because they don't have any explanation. And then if they say, well, it came from outer space, it came from another universe, fine. Where did life begin there? And they can't answer it because it's a lie. Well, because we have a couple of books. We have The Tornado in the Junkyard, certainly an excellent book, Tornado in the Junkyard, and another one on Darwinism. Excellent books that will give you answers to so many of the lies that I got when I was in college, the fact that the professors knew there were lies, these pictures you see of how the embryo of the pig and the fish and the human being, and they all look exactly the same. Oh, those pictures were drawn, you know, in about 1870, and they were known by 1880 to be a lie, and they're still used in our textbooks today. And nobody ever tells the kids. They're being lied to in their schools. It's up to you to get them educated, to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle. And everything is designed to destroy the faith of people and hopefully to take them into the other kingdom. There really are people out there, millions of them in America, who worship Lucifer. And this is the one thing you're never going to be told. And certainly, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. Brotherhood of Darkness. In fact, we're really flattered and very, very happy to see it's being featured in Prophecy in the News this month. And we hope that if you haven't got it yourself, why, you'll get a copy. And, of course, you can hear the talk. You need to get our talk on the financial Armageddon to understand that everything going on financially today is all planned to destroy this nation. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know as you lose your family and your home and your job and your life savings and your pension and your insurance policies. And they intend to impoverish the American people. And this is a replay of exactly what happened back in the 1830s when Andrew Jackson stood against the Second Bank of the United States. You need, of course, to get my newsletters. They're up on the internet at radioliberty.com, and we have we're doing a series now on Andrew Jackson's farewell address. You need to start reading those, and of course we have two of the letters have been completed. The third one will be completed this coming month, but you need to have the information. You need to help us get it out across America. And then, of course, we do hope many of you as well will certainly want to get my talk on the forbidden secret. Because there is a forbidden secret that's been known for thousands of years, passed down through the secret societies and the mystery religions right to this very day. And modern-day Masonry is simply the end result of all of these secret societies, the Knights Templar, the Gnostics, the Rosicrucians, the Illuminati, and Albert Pike tells us this in his book, Morals and Dogma, and he's quite open about it. And we cover all of this in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get the references. You need to find out if I'm really telling you the truth. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, radioliberty.com. If you haven't gotten yourself a Berkey water filter, you ought to have one on hand. You need a supply of long-term food, just because I think we may be heading into some difficult times with forced quarantine if they bring back this influenza, and I believe this is going to be done intentionally, a new epidemic in the fall. You need to have the health products on hand. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. And then please pray for Radio Liberty. Please pray for our provision and our protection.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio.